Coming up, it's all politics from NPR News.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Welcome to It's All Politics from NPR News. From the West Coast, I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm Ken Rudin.
Previously on It's All Politics...
Hillary Clinton.
Most likely Hillary Clinton.
She's going to give out $1,000 to everybody.
The Hillary Clinton plan costs $110 billion.
She wants to put a lid on our growth.
I can't wait to debate with her.
That sounds like Republicans.
Yes, that was the Republican debate just about 2 weeks ago. Right? This week there was another debate, but of course it was in the Democratic Party, so of course the subjects were entirely different.
Senator Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Hillary is the first lady, and now Senator Clinton.
I seem to be the topic of great conversation and consternation, and that's for a reason.
and I think we need to observe that that second montage, the first montage was, of course, the handiwork of our very lovely and talented producer, Evie Stone.
Wait, she's in the podcast again?
But the second montage was put together by whom?
I would think Senator Hillary montage. That's what it says here.
Her staff put together that second montage as if to say, see, all the boys are fascinated and obsessed with Hillary on the Democratic side as well.
That's right. The Republicans say I'm inevitable. The Democrats say I'm inevitable. We might as well just stop the not even have the voting because I am the next Democratic nominee for president.
Is that the Clinton campaign's point at this point? Well, is that what they really want to say?
Well, what I do, I don't think they want to.
It's all about me?
Well, it was all about her in Tuesday night's debate at Drexel University in Philadelphia, and I don't think she liked everything she heard.
She wasn't bad. The difference was that she wasn't dominant.
I'd go even further than that. I'd say that all the doubts that people, that Democrats have about Hillary Clinton were in plain view Tuesday night. One, the fact that she often would not answer the question. And if when she would answer a question, it was two different varieties of the same answer. And a lot of Democrats on the... I mean, obviously, look, if Hillary Clinton has a 20, 30-point lead nationally, obviously the other Democrats on the stage want to take her down, make a race out of this. Of course, we knew that
no
was
choice.
True. But in fairness to these other folks there, Hillary Clinton was not the sterling performer. She kind of had it fudged a lot on the issues. It was the exasperation of her rivals and Tim Russert, who just felt that she was not coming clean and clear on these with her answers.
And yet they were not exactly sure what tack to take against her, and they were obviously somewhat fearful that they were going to seem like a bunch of guys all ganging up on the one woman on the stage. And, you know, I keep wondering if, and I think I've decided he never is going to, if Barack Obama is ever going to take the gloves off. He told the New York Times, I'm going to go after her. This is the time I'm going to do it. And here's the toughest shot he took at her at this debate at Drexel.
Part of the reason that Republicans, I think, are obsessed with you, Hillary, is because that's a fight they're very comfortable having. It is the fight that we've been through since the 90s.
And a fight we may be having again for the next 4 to 8 years. Who knows?
Well, except in fairness, Obama, he didn't really have to take on Hillary Clinton because somebody else did the job for him.
Unless I missed something, Senator Clinton said two different things in the course of about 2 minutes, just a few minutes ago. And I think this is a real issue for the country. I mean, America is looking for a president who will say the same thing, who will be consistent, who will be straight with them. Because what we've had for 7 years is double talk from Bush and from Cheney.
Right out of a John Grisham novel, right out of a movie or one of these television shows about lawyers and how they turn it all around in the courtroom. But is John Edwards going to be the beneficiary if, in fact, Hillary weakens?
Well, let's see. Let's see what happens on January 3rd. Right now, you talk about the inevitability of Hillary Clinton, and yet Barack Obama, John Edwards, and Ms. Clinton are all neck and neck and neck in Iowa. And I think anybody who comes out of Iowa with a win certainly gets a boost into perhaps the subsequent states.
I'm wondering if Obama's strategy might boil down to this. He wants to be Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Above the Fray, Mr. Politics of Hope, and he wants her to get cut up by everybody else, but not by him. And then he wants to sort of be the guy who's second in the polls, who's right up there with her in fundraising, who provides that new look, that sort of 1960 JFK, wow, this is something different kind of look. That's what he's hoping, and that his hands won't have any of her blood on them if, in fact, she does go down.
And yet he kind of set up the whole thing by having that interview with the New York Times saying he would be more aggressive. He would be standing, you know, pointing out the contrast between himself and Clinton. So it's tough to go negative. It's tough to not go negative when you're supposedly 30 points down with 2 months to go before Iowa. But again, if he can narrow the differences, pull out a win in Iowa, then the Obama candidacy is revived.
He wants it both ways. He absolutely wants it both ways. And, you know, who knows? Sometimes that can work for somebody. All right, let's tick off a couple of the others.
But if anybody wants it both ways, it's Hillary Clinton. If you listen to every answer, many answers she gave during the debate, she wants it both ways on the driver's licenses, on the National Law Archives, on the Charlie Rangel tax plan. I mean, she has been, in a sense, getting away with it for a long time because she's just so smart and prepared and effective. So the first sign of vulnerability, here it is in Hillary Clinton with 2 months to go in the debate. Maybe Barack Obama didn't initiate it. Maybe he wasn't the strongest attacker on the stage. But once the electability question has been raised, and Chris Dodd did that very effectively too, once those questions are out there, then the inevitability question is there, and others can. Again, there's plenty of time for the others to take advantage of that, including Barack Obama.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of what Chris Dodd actually did have to say.
Whether it's fair or not fair, the fact of the matter is that my colleague from New York, Senator Clinton, there are 50% of the American public that say they're not going to vote for him. I'm not saying anything that people don't know already. I don't necessarily like it, but those are the facts. We as a party certainly have to take that into consideration.
And that is not a point of view that has not been expressed by Democrats constantly after almost every week, even though debate performance after debate performance, I think Hillary Clinton has done very, very well. She shows that she's very smart. She's very prepared. She leaves the stage mostly unscathed. But the question has still been, can she stand up to the Republicans in 2008, given the fact that the war is so unpopular, President Bush is unpopular? They fear, many Democrats fear, that the issue, if it becomes Hillary Clinton, is to the Democrats' disadvantage.
Okay, but it's got to be somebody else if it's not Hillary. So, do we talk about Dodd? He had a strong performance. He's surging on the internet. He's raising more money. He's getting more hits on his sites. He's got things he can talk about out there. He's, you know, he's not a new face, a fresh face, but he's a different face. And he does have that kind of air of, look, I'm a moderate Democrat in the old Roosevelt Kennedy LBJ tradition, if you will. I'm the kind of guy that you can rally around in a time when people don't want to vote Republican. They just don't want to be asked to vote for a Democrat they don't like. I'm the guy. Can Dodd do that?
No.
All right. Well, then let's tick off a couple of the others real quickly. Bill Richardson, in the midst of the carnage.
You mean Vice
in
President?
This debate,
Vice President
in Drexel,
Bill Richardson?
Yes. Suddenly, chivalrous Bill Richardson rides in on his white stallion, his steed, and he's going to rescue the damsel in distress. What's Bill Richardson up to?
You know what I'm hearing here? I'm hearing Bill Richardson right now.
You know what I'm hearing here? I'm hearing this holier-than-thou attitude towards Senator Clinton. That it's bothering me because it's pretty close to personal attacks that we don't need.
He's looking for his spot in the cabinet, if you ask me.
Maybe UN ambassador or energy secretary. He hasn't done that in a while.
No, but I think that was another in many elements of Bill Richardson's campaign that just is leaving people flat. He's really in the running in order to enhance his national standing, but he doesn't really think he's going to be nominated for president. And he'd like to be on the ticket as vice president. And maybe in the end, he goes back to New Mexico and decides he's going to run for the Senate after all.
You know, I thought the best line of the debate had nothing to do with Hillary Clinton. And I thought it came from Joe Biden, who, again, like Chris Dodd, is not making a big difference in the polls and has not raised much money. But he did have a great line, not about Hillary Clinton, but about Rudy Giuliani in Tuesday night's debate.
Rudy Giuliani. I mean, think about it. Rudy Giuliani, there's only three things he mentioned in a sentence, a noun and a verb and 9/11. I mean, there's nothing else.
Okay, Rudy Giuliani, a Republican name. We haven't really talked about the Republicans this week because we talked about them pretty exclusively last week. But I'd like to throw out a couple of other Republican names before we finish today. Yes, and let's throw out not just Rudy Giuliani, who is getting to be, in some respects, the Hillary Clinton on the Republican side. But let's also remember a couple of other Republican names, Ken, and one that I know is very close to
Duncan
your
Hunter?
That would be Ernie Fletcher. Ken, share with the listener just who is
okay. Ron Ernie wants French. To make the point that, and it's an important point, that next Tuesday is Election Day 2007, not the biggest year in the four-year cycle of elections, but there are elections in for governor of Kentucky and Mississippi and big city mayors like Philadelphia, San Francisco, Houston, and those kind of cities, and those are famous cities. But Ernie Fletcher, the first Republican elected governor of Kentucky since 1967, has had a rocky, I would say a fairly rocky 4 years.
Highly rocky.
The point is that the Republicans made a big deal. They picked up, on October 20th, they picked up the governorship of Louisiana. That was
big
good.
Deal.
Bobby Jindal, right? But Ernie Fletcher is going to lose his election on Tuesday to Steve Beshear, who, as you well remember, was a 1996 Senate nominee against Mitch McConnell and ran for governor.
As well I remember.
Yes.
I do remember.
As you should.
Yes.
But I think so. That'll be probably the headlines on November 6th that I cannot wait for.
I knew that you would provide us with that magnificent summary.
Oh, wait, the most important thing.
Kentucky.
Wait, Dennis Kucinich.
Oh, of course. We cannot finish this podcast without hearing once again this wonderful question and answer.
Did you see a UFO?
I did, and the rest of the account, it was unidentified flying object, okay? It's like, it's unidentified. I saw something.
And that's it for this week's political podcast.
You can follow NPR's political coverage at npr.org/politics.
I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm Ken Rudin.
Join us again next week for It's All Politics from NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.